This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rolls on, affecting the auto workers. Another is solved and will probably have riders back to work pretty soon in the next couple of days. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a great weekend. Bouncing into this week, it is the typical yin-yang that we see right across the USA. Some really sad things happening at the border, though, because of Venezuelan migrants who are overwhelming El Paso and Eagle Pass and some other areas in trying to figure out what do we do here. There are mayors who have their hands up in the air and they're saying, please help us because we can't handle the amount of people that are crossing over. And I've talked about this many times because I spent some time in El Paso and right there on the border there in El Paso and where that Zaragoza bridge is. And I saw people crossing the Rio Grande and I was out with the Border Patrol many times. But then it was still a big problem, but not as big of a problem as it is today. And the numbers had actually gone down, but because there was another crisis, you added the amount of Venezuelan people who are willing to risk it to walk, to get on trains, get on buses, to sit on the top of trains, to do whatever they had to do to get out of there. And then all the others that were pouring out to cross over the border, and it's increased to, it, some places, they're saying altogether 9,000 a day, which is untenable. You can't handle it. There's not enough shelter space. There's not enough placements for kids for schools, and it's a nightmare. And even in trying to send some back and figuring that out and processing, we're back to that crisis point again. And as I said, you have mayors like Eric Adams in New York who's saying, this is serious, and we don't have any answers, and people are telling us just, they're not telling us anything. Nobody's, the federal government's not helping us, nobody's helping us, and we're pulling all these people in, and we've got no place to put them. We have no place to put them. You know, and that's our biggest city. And then you go from that city to a smaller city like El Paso, and they're completely overrun, overwhelmed, can't process people, and are doing, they want to do the humanitarian thing and whatever they can do, but what do you do when you don't have the answers? I say we live in the world of figure it out, but sometimes you can't figure it out, especially when the purse strings are tied to somebody else and they got to figure it out, which means the politicians have to cut the bull, and they have to get down to business of figuring out, what do you do? They had the idea of an app, and it worked a little bit because you didn't have big numbers, but now those numbers have increased, so the app isn't working for appointments. It's not helping when it comes to the Venezuelans and all the other people that are crossing over. So this is, it's like a friend of mine says, there's problems, and then there's dilemmas. This isn't a problem anymore. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma for too many people who have their hands tied and they don't have the answers. Somebody has to come up with the answers, the people who are in charge. All right, speaking of the people who are in charge, the Writers Guild and the studios have been burning the midnight oil, so to speak. So they've reached a tentative deal to end the strike. It still needs to be approved by union members, but it's a historic work stoppage that happened way back in the beginning of May, and that is good news because that means a lot of writers will get back to work, which also means a lot of people in the restaurant industry and in other industries affected by the strike will be able to, maybe if they're still in business, also increase what they need to survive. And This is a good thing because there are a lot of other industries that are tied to this. And the national impact, the economic impact, is more than, supposedly, according to economists, $6 billion because you have industries, like I said, like restaurants, service firms, prop shops, drivers, cars, hotels. So many industries have been affected by the major productions that were halted. And as a result, New York is a great example of that. There were 17,000 jobs that were lost. So the optimism is rampant that, okay, now we can move forward, we can get back to the business of doing what we have to do. But the actors' union, SAG-AFTRA, they've been on strike since mid-July, and they represent about 160,000 actors, so they don't have a deal yet, but the writers do. So maybe the actors will get a deal, and then this all wraps up. Because if you think about it, normally in September, which we're almost out of September and into October, if you were one of the big three networks, which is what we used to only have decades ago, that's where all of the people watched across the country tuned in for a lot less for what they paid for their bill, tuned in to watch what was on television. They tuned in to what the programs were, right? Some of those programs that have been around for a long time, like, let's say, soap operas or news programs, like news talk programs, they'll come back. Also, some of the late night stuff will come back. But you still have in between what happens with the actors' union, so that would be affected there. All right, the auto union, they're apparently prepared, if they have to, strike for months because they're tired of not getting what they want in terms of a longer contract, better hours, more pay, big sticking points there, how many hours they were working on the job. So the president's going to travel to Michigan on Tuesday, walk the picket line with members of the United Auto Workers Union. He announced that on Friday. And he said he's going to join them in solidarity with men and women as they fight for a fair share of the value they create. The American auto manufacturing is kind of not teetering yet, but could really end up teetering, because when you think of the three largest automakers, General Motors, Ford, Stellantis, you know, we're going into now yet another week, and you also have former President Donald Trump, who's currently the front runner in the Republican presidential race, who's going to deliver a primetime speech to an audience of current and former union members, including the UAW in Detroit. Because they're skipping the Republican primary debate, which is going to happen on Wednesday. And the former president blasted Biden's plans, saying he's only going to Michigan because he announced his own trip. But regardless, it is a very, very big deal as the weeks tick away. And what happens when you're talking about manufacturing and parts and all of that, and what's happening in this strategic strike at these certain plants, they may add to some of the plants that will be affected, and then it'll trickle down to the American people. Coming up, it's the Man Cave Void. We have some interesting lopsided scorers in the NFL.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
As much as I can, and of course we're going to have man caves coming up throughout the week. Oh, I love me some football, and we are deep into this, my friends. A big reminder, Nail the Score happens on Tuesday, first hour, final segment. You can call in and guess who you think's going to win of the game of the week that I pick. You know, who's going to win and what's the final score, or you can send us an email. This time around, it is one of the two Monday night games, so we don't know if we have a winner or not. It's the Eagles and the Buccaneers. For example, Pete says Philly, he said this last week, was going to win 35-20. I said Philly would win it 38-21. Jeremy Paulson said Philly would win it 28-9. Big A says Philly 32-27. You get the idea. So, and there were a whole bunch of other guesses too as well from Johnny and a few others. But that's how we do it. And listen, we could have a winner. But if we don't, it doesn't matter. If we have a winner, that's great. If we have someone who nails the score, we've had two in the whole time I've done this. And it's exciting and it's incredible and, you know, it's like playing the lottery for free. And then, but we haven't done this before. So at the end of the year, anyone who participates at least once, I mean, you're in there, you're participating, your name is going to be thrown into a hat and I'm going to pull three winners for gift cards. So somebody's going to get something. We're going to have a couple of winners, consolation prizes, if you will, for participation. There you go. Lots to talk about, so let me just dive into it quickly. I think the most exciting, one of the most exciting games to watch was the Packers and the Saints. Oh, who dat nation, I am so sorry, because they were in control. We got a lot of listeners in New Orleans, and the Saints are 2-1 after this loss to the Packers. They were leading 17-0. Their defense looked good. Jameis Winston came in. They were making things happen, and then all of a sudden they weren't making things happen, and the Packers did. There was a chance the Saints could win it on a kick. They didn't. But the Packers, so the Packers hung on for the win, but they reeled off 18 points in the fourth quarter. 18-17 was the final score. And Derek Carr was knocked out of the game. He had a shoulder injury. So the Saints lost him, and that's why Winston was in. But in 11 minutes, 18 points to win their 11th consecutive home opener. How about that? I mean, again, just a shocker, because Jameis Winston had a couple of completions that looked brilliant and just seemed like things were going their way. And then all of a sudden, like I said, it didn't. It just didn't. And because of a couple of different things, because of some play calling, because of the composure, I think, of Jordan Love. You know, there are a slew of reasons why, but the key thing is they came away with the win. There was a chance. The field goal was missed, and so the Saints lost that one. I really thought they were going to nail the field goal, and that was going to be it. Also, how about this? This is the one that everybody is talking about. The Dolphins shred the Broncos 70-20. Afterwards, Sean Payton, the coach of the Broncos, didn't seem very happy, can you imagine? And had really no answers for this thrashing. I mean, 70 points is crazy. It was spread around all over the place, right? Tua Tagovailoa, the NFL's leading passer, just found person after person after person and made the plays. And Russell Wilson, 0-3 for the first time in his career. Denver could not keep pace with Miami's scoring. Wow. I mean, if you looked at his line, you knew nothing about the game. He was 23 of 38 with 306 yards and an interception. But there were fumbles, there were miscues, and just awful. Just awful, awful for them, but great for the Dolphins. So the Broncos are at Chicago next week. The Dolphins are at Buffalo. We've been talking about this one for a long time. How about the Colts in overtime stunning the Ravens? I think this is a pretty good upset. So the Colts go to 2-1, 22-19. And this was because, thank you, a field goal was missed on the other side that sent it into overtime, but Matt Gay was the one that counted. He had a 53-yard field goal in overtime. That gave them the win. In fact, he made four kicks from beyond 50, and he was a difference maker, right? Whoever thinks a kick is just a kick, they have no idea, because these are the ways so many times we see games end. The Vikings, they had a chance in front of their home crowd to win it. They lost it. They're 0-3. They lost to the Chargers 28-24. Again, if you looked at the line, 367 yards for Kirk Cousins, 3 touchdowns. Herbert, 405 yards, 3 touchdowns. This was a game that was a back-and-forth game, and it just seemed like the Chargers had it really going on the whole time. And they were able to keep Kirk Cousins out of the end zone twice in the last 3 minutes. And that's what preserved this wild win for them. Cousins had trouble hearing, he says, the play call. And 29 seconds ticked off the clock until the next snap. Instead of the Vikings opting for a spike because they had no timeouts left, he tossed the ball and got picked off. You know, that was it, a bad break for the Vikings, because they're saying he's saying he couldn't hear, and if he could hear, and that's the home crowd, it might have made a difference. The Seahawks beat the Panthers 37-27 for Geno Smith. He's loving this. They're 2-1. The Panthers are 0-3. Andy Dalton was engineering the drives for the Panthers and the losing drives. But for the Seahawks, they were happy to get that win in front of the home crowd. The Cowboys were perhaps stunned by the Cardinals, because so many people always pick the Cowboys. And after the first two games, a lot of people were picking the Cowboys to be 3-0 and talked about how good the Cowboys are. But are they really looking at some of the things that are happening offensively? The Cardinals never trailed. They went ahead 21-10 on the final play of the first half. Matt Prater made a 62-yard field goal, that, you know, a low liner, basically, line drive that cleared the uprights. And Arizona scored on all five of its possessions before the break. So I know we have Cardinal fans in the house who are listening, and the Cardinals looked really good in this game. I mean, the Cowboys had 13 penalties. That hurt them. And the couple of times when they had these solid drives, they get down to the red zone and they can't score. That made a big difference for the Dallas Cowboys. So anyway, they come up with the loss. The 49ers started things off, if you remember, against the Giants with that 30-12 win. And then you had the Steelers, who beat the Raiders on Sunday night. I watched this game out of Vegas, where it's going to be the site of Allegiant Stadium of the next Super Bowl. 23-18, the final score there. Jimmy Garoppolo desperately trying to make something happen. And it looked like the Raiders were going to do, at the end, they were making a big push to come back into it. And the fans were so loud, but some of the fans were there from Pittsburgh. And there was as many people, it almost felt like, cheering for the Steelers as for the Raiders. But the Steelers had 333 yards, 17 first downs. You know, that's where they were. And it wasn't a perfect game for them by any stretch, but Vegas trailed 23-7 going into the fourth quarter. They had the chance to tie the game in the final minutes, but Josh McDaniel, the coach, he settles for a short field goal instead of trying to convert a fourth and four at the 8. And Vegas was hurt by interceptions, 3 for Jimmy G. So now he's got 6 on the season. And, you know, they got Devontae Adams, and he looked pretty impressive when he was catching the ball, but it's a loss for the Raiders. So they're 1-2. Browns beat the Titans easily 27-3. The Patriots barely get by, but they do. The Jets 15-10. Oh, what a different season the Jets could have had. The Texans with a big surprise. They beat the Jags 37-17. Lots and lots of football. We'll be talking about more of these games coming up on our next Man Cave 2.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The chair of the House Committee on Intelligence says American hostages should have been among the first to be released from Hamas. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Republican Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio said the White House needed to make that a condition of the deal that has resulted in a temporary ceasefire. Reaction is coming in over Saturday night shooting in Vermont of three students of Palestinian descent. Burlington police say their investigation is in the early stages and have not publicly said if they have a motive. While authorities haven't indicated whether or not they're calling it a hate crime, the Council on American Islamic Relations announced it's offering a $10,000 reward for the arrest and conviction of the perpetrator or perpetrators. The Kiss End of the Road Tour is back on the road. The band had to cancel its final two shows while Paul Stanley was sidelined with a bout of the flu. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Joins us. He's been preaching the gospel full time since, get this, 1963. He's worked with independent, non-denominational churches of Christ in Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Texas. He's written a lot. He's done a lot of things. And now we're here to talk about the power of prayer and its working, things most people do not know about prayer. He's here on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight. Walton, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So you have all that experience. I talked about that starting in, you know, the early 60s. So the first question before we even talk about the book is, you look at what the 60s was like to where we are today. There is a vast difference in how people worship, isn't there?
Yes, there is. You know, that's the value of my book. You know, is it meeting a need that exists out there today?
Yeah, so that sets it up for why you wrote the book. What were you hoping to do with the book?
Well, I was looking for self-improvement, actually. You know, I was struggling as a younger preacher, you know, at the time, and I wanted to learn more about prayer and a better way, you know, to do it, maybe. And so I just began to do my research, and it was for my own personal use, you know, that I began to study. And it worked into a book. I hadn't really planned that I was going to write a book about it at the beginning stages of it, but as I learned more about it and saw, you know, that I'm not alone, I'm sure. I know there are lots of people out there that struggled in the way that I did as well. You know, repetition in my prayers, that concerned me, you know, and not being able to know how to glorify God, you know, as well as I would like to, and especially the beginning parts of my prayers. So there were just a lot of things about things to pray for and to pray about, and, you know, are there conditions? There are just a lot of issues in my own mind, and I did it for my own personal growth.
And talking about your growth, one of the things you told me when we had a conversation off the air is you really started to really learn this in high school. You didn't have that before, right?
Right. Yeah, our home was not a home. It was a godly home, but prayer was not central. It was not a focal point, you know, in our home life. And I missed that, you know, when growing up. My parents were good parents, you know, they were godly parents, but they were not praying parents in the family. So I missed out on that in growing, you know, as a young person. So it was on up in my middle years, you know, before I really began to sense that I needed to get better, you know, and be better at what's one of the main things about our lives, you know, as Christians.
Yeah. And you say it in the title, the power of prayer in its working. So what do you mean by that? What is the power of prayer that you think maybe people who are Christians, are religious, of any kind of religion, what is it that they miss?
Well, they miss sometimes, I think, believing, you know, that prayer can really be effective in their lives and bring about things that God will work, you know, through prayer. I don't mean that prayer itself has the power in it, but that there is power in prayer, and it works, you know, if God is in the process of exhibiting His will, His providential will, you know, in our lives. And so I try to make a difference, you know, between God's providential will and God's perfect will, as it is revealed to us in Scripture, that God is at work and that God will work providentially. So I spend some time, you know, in the book, you know, talking a good bit about that.
Yeah, and in the book, and you said this, it's, you have a detailed book filled with Scripture. It's an informational book. What do you ultimately hope, and I think you're saying it in this conversation, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I want them to take away that the power that is in prayer is a power that God supplies, you know, and that if we get into practice of prayer, you know, and we really develop the qualities that are essential to not only wording a good prayer, but also really believing that God, you know, will work in our lives today. You know, not, I don't believe miraculously, but I'm talking about providentially, you know, that God is a part of our prayer life, and that the reason that we have certain qualities, you know, laid out for us in Scripture is who we need to be in order to find, you know, the true power that is there, that it begins with us, that if we are the people that God wants us to be, and we come before Him in prayer, prayer has the power to make things happen. And it's just a beautiful life, you know, when you once begin to grow, you know, and be able to find the words, you know, not perfect words, but words. And I think we worry too much about repetition. One of the greatest things that hurts people, you know, it bothers them, that concerns them, is they seem to pray the same thing over and over, you know, and they want to get beyond that. But I don't know that we need to get beyond that, you know. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying with them, but he left them behind and he went forward a distance and he prayed. came back, of course, he found them asleep, you know, and then he went back and prayed again. But the significant thing is not only what he said about them, you know, being careful, you know, and be awake and be, you know, alert, you know, especially during times of prayer. You know, the thing that he that's emphasized there is Jesus went three times and prayed the same thing. Well, we know that sometimes God has said no, and we eventually maybe don't continue to pray the same prayer. It's like Paul, you know, he prayed three times that that thorn in the flesh might be removed. But God said no each time, and he said his grace was sufficient for it. And so it's not wrong to repeat. We may have to say the same things when we're trying to find words to glorify God, usually in the beginning part of our personal prayers. You know, but that's all right. You know, it's all right to say over and over to God that he is great and he is merciful. He is long-suffering. You know, he is a God of love. You know, because all these things are true of God, and we're just reaching out and acknowledging the one upon whom we depend. Well, we need to find that place of total dependence and self-surrender. And that's what my book is about. You know, it's trying to help people, you know, come to see what are the real qualities that acceptable prayer, you know, would require. What are the conditions, you know, of acceptable prayer? And what are the kinds of things that we should pray for? And how does Christ, as our intercessor, you know, fill the role? And how does the Holy Spirit, you know, do that? So there's a lot here, and I tried to make it totally biblical, scriptural, so that people could be under the right teaching and really, really find benefit and profit from it.
Wow, that sums it up. And Walton, I said this in the beginning because to me it's interesting. It doesn't matter your denomination, right? It doesn't matter what kind of church you belong to. You can absolutely plug into this book.
Well, any person, you know, that is a Christian can do that. You know, this book is not written for a particular group of Christians out there. You know, it's written for all, you know, all people who are Christians. So I'm not trying to establish that. You know, what I'm doing is dealing with the subject of prayer and people who are Christians, you know, that want to find, you know, a better life, you know, in their prayer life.
And after everything that you've done from high school all the way through, do you feel like, and then releasing this book, do you feel like, wow, I really have grasped this through my preaching, through what I learned as a teenager and what I've gone through in my life?
Well, I don't say that I have reached the peak, you know, of understanding, or I don't think I've reached that perfect point out there in anything in my life, you know, but I get encouragement from that. You know, when I see Paul's struggle that he had with sin, you know, we all still are sinners, even though we're saints. We do fall short sometimes, and just like Paul said of himself, he has to buffet his body and keep it under subjection, lest after he preached to others, he become a castaway. So I don't present myself as having arrived completely, you know, or knowing the perfect way, you know, to pray, or the perfect time. There's no set times for prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. These are the kind of terms we find in Scripture, but we can't do that 24 hours a day. You know, have set times, but the Bible doesn't lay down, you know, like a third hour and the sixth hour and ninth hour, even though people came to pray, you know, at certain times in Bible time.
Yeah. And that's the power of this book, The Power of Prayer and Its Working, Things Most People Do Not Know About Prayer by Walton Weaver. You can get it, again, Walton Weaver, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much. We'll be right back.
this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Which you're going to meet him here in just a second. He's in our virtual green room. He has such an interesting background. So he was really motivated by some encounters that he had with psychics and his own experiences, and he started to really delve into the realms of spirituality. And he's got a guide, an inspirational, incredible walk through this. This book is, I think it's a must read, right? I really do. So his name is David Tuttle. Again, the book is Soul License Tips and Tales. He joins us on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. David, boy, you have such an interesting background. We talked off the air. You're a Reiki master teacher. You've done all kinds of interesting things, including a press agent for the Ohio Secretary of State and Ohio Legislative Caucus, so many different things. And now you're in Boise, Idaho. And you're loving life, as you told me. You're athletic, biking, running, all that kind of stuff. And you really have embraced Reiki and this spiritual journey. And you have a lot of takeaways in this book. So thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
What made you decide to write the book?
I was inspired, basically, back in 2012. Spirit guides through a psychic reading I got were telling me that I should write something. And at that point, I wrote a small little blurb for the website, and thought that I had completed my mission with that. But then I was again I was in Traverse City, Michigan, and I saw the psychic was in there, and I thought I'd go ahead and do that for fun. And I went in, and she was again telling me that the psychic was telling me that my spirit guides wouldn't be right again. And that was just a few years ago, and I had been receiving email messages from a writing class put on by James Van Praan, a psychic, and before that, and I was ignoring them, but after the psychic greeting, I thought that that was the prompt that I should do this, and the joining period for the class was just 2 days before, 2 days after that reading. So I sent in the money and went from there and just wrote as I was inspired.
And so in writing this and being inspired, in the book you talk about, you know, the afterlife. You talk about people who feel, how we feel disconnected or maybe uncertain. When you started to open up to these experiences you were having, did that change your life?
Yes. It did. When I first became a Reiki a practitioner and then a Reiki master teacher, that connection really built. And before that, I had been reading spiritual things and going to psychics here and there just for fun. But as I traversed my path here, I learned very quickly that there's no reason to be afraid of dying or anything. That we're all here on a mission, and if we get off that mission, we might be surprised as to what happens to us.
Yeah, so in the book, as I said, Soul License Tips and Tales, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place where you can find books. What are some of the tips that you talk about in the book?
I give some tips on how to better your health. I mentioned different energy techniques that you can use, and you don't have to be a Reiki person to do that. Just meditation and awareness, and also being aware of what your thoughts are, because your thoughts can change your life for the positive. That's always been written about, but when you think negative thoughts, your thoughts are actually doing things, and it's if you're sending out negative energy, you're likely to get negative energy back.
Yeah, one of the things too that you talk about is tapping. You know, people that have anxiety, that really works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I've worked with it. My wife actually got into it really big, and I just went along for the ride a little bit. But I found it, I just started using it on myself, and then I found that I could actually do it in my sleep. I wake up in my sleep, and I have a cold or something, and I do the tapping things, and it would go away, but I wouldn't actually tap with my fingers. I'd just do it mentally, and it would still work.
In learning all of this and going down this path and then going all the way to becoming a Reiki master teacher, what was that journey like into Reiki? I think a lot of people don't understand even what it is.
Right. Well, it's an energy technique passed on through by a Japanese fellow named Yasui. And basically, anyone can get this energy flowing if it's just unlocked. And that's what a Reiki master teacher does. It unlocks that power that's within everyone to have this healing energy coming out of you and things like that. And it's quite a good feeling to have. And It works on people, and it gives you something that you can utilize throughout your life. But it's definitely changed my life.
And on the cover of the book, it's so interesting because the tips and the tails, you have license plate numbers. Explain that and what that means.
Well, your relatives on the other side can talk to you in very many different ways, and one of them is through license plates, numerals and letters that can refer to birthdays, they can refer to graduation dates, anniversaries, dates. It just goes on, and the numbers that you might think that that's just a, you know, you could do that anyway with probability or whatever, but it, the circumstances surrounding the times when you see these letters is, and numbers is very important also. For example, when I go on vacation, I often find my car surrounded by license plates that are just like reading through my parents, my wife's parents, and different people that we know that have died, but they're not really dead.
Yeah, the significant dates that you know that, wow, that date pops out at me, and that date pops out at me. And you told me even the story about, you know, being in Maui and being in a parking lot in Lahaina. Tell everybody what happened there.
Yeah, we were, my wife and I were walking across the parking lot, and we saw this sign and marquee that said, Annabelle and some kind of theater, dinner theater or whatever. And Annabelle was Jane's mother, my wife's mother's name. And it turns out that Annabelle in the theater was a ghost who played the piano. So we thought that was quite funny and also quite synchronistic.
Right, the similarity plus an unusual name, and you just happen to catch that right there. And you've got all kinds of things, the tales in the book that you see, things you've seen, things you've encountered. Did you ever think that going from all the things that you did that I mentioned at the top, financial planner, all of that, that you would end up being a Reiki master teacher and you'd write this book?
No, I didn't. I'd never had any intention of writing a book. So if I wouldn't have been guided to do so, it wouldn't have happened, probably.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What do you hope people take away from reading Soul License Tips and Tales?
Well, I think they'll take away a lesson of hope and realize that there's everything happens for a reason, and that there's more than... There's no reason to fear anything that's going on in this planet, because there is no death. And from the things I've read, they say that basically you outline your life on the other side. So it's, if that happens to you, you can say you did it yourself.
Yeah, wow. Powerful stuff. David Tuttle, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.